You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, Ron, 48 AGs in the country have filed a lawsuit against Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. And he bought WhatsApp and he bought Instagram in order to kind of squelch the competition. And now they're saying that that's over the top and it needs to be broken up.
Well, he already had Messenger that's on Facebook. And I did understand that he bought Instagram. Yeah, you know, there's a whole conversation to be had about on many different levels on these different social media platforms, you know, Facebook, Google, Twitter. I mean, they're all way to the left, unfortunately. And they were supposed to be designed as communication tools where people could keep in touch with each other, share thoughts, share photographs, share information. And it was supposed to be a free, in accordance with the First Amendment, it was supposed to be a free exchange of ideas and, you know, and then barring, you know, hateful, vile, you know, things like that and terrorist, you know, sites and things like that. I mean, those obvious things. But look at what has happened just within the last couple of years and actually within the last 6 months with the major social media platforms.
Well, they've all started communicating. They probably have for a while, but they started actively resisting the right. And they started actively promoting the far left agenda. And they promoted it to the point of censoring conservative writing, conservative thought. And the new thing is, which is with YouTube, that YouTube has now decided that they will censor anything that is put on YouTube that says that our election had fraud in the election.
And YouTube is a division of Google.
Yes.
Right? So.
And we know that it had fraud in the election. There's nobody that can deny that. There are too many instances of it. You can say it didn't have enough to make a difference. You can say a lot of different things, but you cannot say that there was no fraud in the election. So for them to censor it and say that you cannot even put that on there, that's false.
Well, there's empirical, objective evidence that there is fraud, and some of the fraud was systemic, all right? Not just in one location, but in multiple locations, again, on multiple levels. The absentee ballots being lost, not being counted, dead people voting, the huge issue that you and I have talked about on numerous occasions, which was a gigantic mistake, and that is the mail-in votes with no vetting, you know, whatsoever. And so, it is a circumstance like we have spoken about before, wholesale versus retail. But nobody in their right mind can argue that there wasn't fraud during the election. And so, like you're alluding to, why? If you mention that on YouTube in a post, like if you and I decided, you know, to post our coffee conversation in regard to election fraud, and we could, before this, this order,
yeah,
right?
Their new...
Right. Well, we could have put Talking While Married on YouTube. We should have certainly done that. And we could have talked just like we are talking now. Not now, we can't, because they're censoring that. Dr. Ron and Linda are not allowed to talk about election fraud on YouTube.
Well, you know, when it's a subject that's throughout the country, for them to censor it is, that's just crazy. So I don't know where this is going to go, but it's got to go somewhere because we can't have the media controlling what we see and hear in this country. That is a communist country.
Well, you know, I just had a thought while you and I were, I mean, just talking right now. And that is, okay, so Google is a search engine. So if you want to type in, you're looking for some information. Let's say you type in the word election fraud or election fraud upon President Trump's campaign. If Google owns YouTube and YouTube is going to censor out all those postings, what's going to happen with us or anybody else Googling election fraud? Do you think it's just going to disappear or there's not going to be a response? Because really, in any organization, in any corporation, the policy should be consistent, don't you think? So throughout the corporation of Google, which includes YouTube, if YouTube is going to censor, isn't Google going to censor their search, their own search engine? What do you think about
that? Well, do you know what the biggest thing that comes up when you do Google election fraud?
No, because what did you just do it?
The biggest top stories, one, two, three, four, the top four stories say, are talking about YouTube censoring the election fraud videos.
Yeah, but okay,
that's
but
the top four stories.
Yeah, but wait a second. But that's a story about them censoring the, you know, the election fraud posts. But if you tried to post something, we ought to try that. We ought to put Talking While Married. We ought to just take a podcast of Talking While Married and throw it up on YouTube and see what happens.
Well,
and then have a conversation about that.
I don't think that they can. I don't think that they're going to be able, there's something like 33 million references to voter fraud. So I don't think they're going to be able to get them all out of there.
Boy, that's going to be a hard time.
Yeah. But the fact is, the scary fact is that these media outlets, these high-tech places, Google and all the people that they own, Facebook and all the people that they own, Twitter, and I don't know if they own anybody else besides Twitter, but they are all in cahoots to manipulate what the American public hears.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. But I would also add that major corporations that deal with product lines also add to that censorship. Okay. And I bring as my first item of evidence, my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, which was formerly on Amazon until CEO Jeff Bezos stated publicly his support for the Black Lives Matter movement and financially started backing them and donating money to them. And then my book disappeared off the shelf. Now, if you go to Amazon and you look up Dr. Ron Martinelli and you look up the Black Lives Matter book, you will see the book there. But there is just a little sentence that says, actually, it's a word, and it says unavailable. That doesn't mean the book is unavailable. That means it's unavailable through Amazon. I mean, we have thousands of books that we sold, more than thousands of books that we sold on Amazon until Jeff Bezos took it off. And Amazon could get our books anytime they want,
well, and
but they won't.
They won't even answer us regarding the book.
That's right.
So you which is get against it their own policy. Right. So if there's any good attorney listening that might want to give Dr. Ron and Linda a hand in getting that book back on Amazon, that would be great.
He'd have to do it pro bono because we're not going to pay for it.
However, the book is selling like wildfire on our own site. I imagine that if it was on Amazon, it would do even better. But yeah.
But the fact that
they censored that book is very, very frustrating.
Yeah. And they're not censoring me. Well, they are, but they're not, right? Because I have the Wade Justice Texas Ranger series on Amazon, and anybody can go to Amazon and Apple and, you know, Barnes and Noble, and they can get an electronic copy of that book, or they can even get a hard copy of that book. They are specifically censoring the Black Lives Matter
yes.
book. And that's a problem that we have in the United States.
Well, and we don't know what else they're censoring.
No.
And that makes me uncomfortable. So, you know, this whole thing is kind of going to be coming to a head, perhaps, with Congress. There's going to be, it's going to be a fight between the lawyers and between Congress and these companies and the people that like what they're doing, which I imagine that there are some on the left that do like it because it plays right into their philosophy. But for the American people who are used to having our our First Amendment rights and our Second Amendment rights.
Until they take that away too, right?
Our First Amendment rights and a freedom of speech, we are being denied that by these companies. Now, you can go on these companies and you can see lots of things that are pretty pornographic. You can actually see things that are murders that happen.
Well, you can see danger. You can read dangerous books. Let me give you a great example, a book that's been on Amazon forever.
Well, I'm not just talking about books, Ron. I'm talking about on YouTube and on videos.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can see things that you shouldn't be looking at.
Absolutely. There's wacky things. And, you know, let me just go back to Amazon because, you know, I've got a bone to pick with them. But they will take a resource book that is not a political book. It's not an opinion book. The Black Lives Matter book is neither of those things. It's a factual resource book. And, you know, it's really, when I wrote it on different levels. So I wrote it for researchers, for social scientists, but I wrote it at a level that the average person that doesn't know anything about the Black Lives Matter movement, but wanted to know about them, they could just read that book. So it's a go-to resource. But what has been on Amazon, and I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands of books just like it, you can buy the Anarchist Cookbook. So if you want to learn how to make a bomb, you can go on to Amazon and you can buy the Anarchist Cookbook, but you can't buy Dr. Ron's book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And that's a problem. So let me take this to the next level and ask you a rhetorical question. Do you not see, do you not equate the censorship that we see now from all the tech social media platforms and from places like Amazon or Barnes and Noble, you know, places where people get books, right? Do you not see that and the taking away of books? What's the difference between that and going back to the fascist days of Benito Mussolini and the neo-Nazi days, or actually the National Socialist days, the Nazi era, of Adolf Hitler and the book burnings? What is the difference between what is going on now and that? And also, you know me, I'm a big lover of the Medici era in Florence, Italy, the bonfire of the vanities that took place in the 13th, end of the 13th, beginning of the 14th century. What about that? How does that equate where they would burn books, burn scripture, burn artwork? You know.
Well, I'll take a left turn here for you, and I'll add to that on the books where the city of Burbank in California has banned 5 books in their school district that are classics. They have banned The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Sorry. Okay, well, that's a racist book.
The Roll of Thunder, Hear Me Cry, another racist book. To Kill a Mockingbird, The K, and Of Mice and Men, all said to be racist. Why? And I'll tell you why. Because out of 15,200 students, 4 parents complained. They have a 2.6% Black children in their schools.
That Black demographic in their school district.
Yes. And they, 4 Black parents complained that the books were racist. Because one child complained that after them reading one of the books, which was the one that is called Roll of Thunder, Hear Me Cry.
Read that. I read the other books, but I haven't read that.
Somebody called her the N-word. And so she got offended and the parents got offended. So that has started all of this. Now, in my opinion, That is a teachable moment. What you do with that moment is you stop and you take the students in that class or the students involved and the other students, because everybody can stand to learn from this. And you say, back in those times here, and by the way, these are fiction books. So back in those times, this was how it was. Well, the reason it's not that way anymore is because of ABC, whatever.
We have evolved as a society.
Right. And here, and that is improper. And that will never happen again in this classroom or this school. And, you know, you explain to the students, you don't remove the books, because that teaches nobody anything. In fact, it teaches the opposite. What it teaches is that it teaches that little Black girl that she now has power to change everything in the school district by complaining about what somebody said. And I don't think that that's an appropriate lesson. The appropriate lesson should have gone to the child that said it and to all the students.
You know, let me share something really quick. I don't know about the Thunder book, but the other books, when I went to high school, and you and I are the same age, those were required reading. Yes. In my literature class. And I was truly blessed to have a wonderful literature teachers passed on long ago by the name of Nello Carlini. He was a phenomenal teacher. And he would use those books as teachable moments. Huck Finn, Huckleberry Finn, right? And he, especially To Kill a Mockingbird, to talk about the way things were in the Old South. Of course, Huckleberry Finn is, you know, Civil War time, pre or post Civil War time. And of course, To Kill a Mockingbird, I think, happened in the 50s or something. And he would use those to talk about racism and talk about the evolution of American society, and then talk about how bad that was, right? And so we learned about racism on an accurate level.
Yes.
But what they want to do, and you and I have talked about this before, and they don't do this in Europe, is in America, they want to erase history.
Yes.
They want to revise history, but they don't want to teach real history. And so as a result, you know, the adage, if those who don't understand history or ignore history are condemned to repeat it.
Yes.
And that's what's happening right now in the United States. And that's why I equate everything that you and I are talking about right now, and the censorship on social media and from companies like Amazon and stuff, I equate that to the book burning of the fascists and National Socialists during World War II and pre-World War II, as well as the bonfires of the vanity.
Well, you know what? It's going to get even worse in a moment. So I'll make you some coffee and I'll throw some Baileys in there.
Well, I'm going to need it after that. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutLoud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Okay, well, get ready to get a little bit angry, because I sure know I am. In Washington State, since last January, children ages 13 and up can obtain confidential treatment for mental health conditions and gender dysphoria using their parents' insurance plan without their parents' knowledge or consent.
Well, let me ask you this. I heard that that was an upcoming bill. Has that bill already passed the legislature and been signed by the governor?
That bill has been in effect. The state is now considering a bill to set up health clinics on middle and high school campuses. And parents are fearing that those clinics will talk children into dangerous and irreversible medical treatments, such as puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, to make their bodies look more like the opposite sex. So that's the bill that you're talking about. But the fact that they can already have treatments that the parents don't know about, they can actually leave class and get an abortion, and the parents don't have to ever be consulted about it. And I just think that that is so far over the line. They are not the parents of those children, and the school districts have no right making these kinds of decisions for our children.
Let me ask you a question. This is the first time, and I like to think of myself as being fairly well read and informed on news stories, especially something as controversial as that. Why is this the first time that you and I are hearing about this?
Well, I guess that there has probably been so much happening in this last year that things like this just get slipped in and you don't know. And like I said, in many states, including the state of Washington, teenage girls can actually leave classes to go get an abortion or obtain contraceptives without their parents' knowledge or permission. How a lot of the parents are finding this out is that they get something from the insurance company when their insurance gets billed. And by the way, always follow the money. So one of the things with this, besides trying to steal your children from you as a parent, one of the things is that now they have access to your medical insurance and to charge things to your medical insurance.
Well, let me ask you this. Don't the parents have to sign off on something like this?
Apparently not.
Something like this is, I believe, legally referred to as in loco parentis, all right, in place of the parents. But that is not done normally or legally unless there's some sort of exigent circumstances that immediately threaten the health, but it has to be an imminent risk of harm.
Well, you are no longer correct.
And gender dysphoria is not an imminent threat to a child. So I'm completely confused with this.
Well, in Oregon, in 2015, they passed a law allowing minors age 15 and up to obtain taxpayer-funded puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and sex change surgeries without parental consent.
Boy, now I'm glad you gave me the Baileys and the coffee. You should have given me a sedative.
Yeah, I'm not done. Stay seated, sir. California passed a similar bill for children in foster care in 2018. And then in March, in California, lawmakers introduced a separate bill called the Confidentiality of Medical Information Act that would hold health insurance companies criminally liable if they disclose sensitive medical information to parents about their own dependents, including treatment and procedures that have been done without their knowledge. This is just so shocking to me. And I want to say, Ron, where I'm getting my information, there's an article by Mary Jackson, and it's in a publication called World. And this portion of it is called Relations, which reports on marriage, family, and sexuality. It's a great article, and it talks about all these different laws that we didn't know existed. So Democratic governor, our favorite governor, Gavin Newsom, also approved in September funds that earmark taxpayer money for gender-affirming healthcare services, including puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for youth. Now, in our schools in California, hundreds of healthcare clinics are popping up on middle and high school campuses across the state to provide these services, as well as Planned Parenthood, who is providing these services.
You know, I see such tremendous influence in these decisions and this legislation by the LGBTQ community.
Sure.
And that's where this is all coming from. And I mean, you and I are the parents of four grown children now. And of course, I've been a teacher all my life. And I will tell you that kids at the elementary school level and kids at the junior high and even the high school level have no idea, you know, about sexuality. You know, this is so confusing for these young boys and girls. You know, when they're talking about gender identification at 5 years old, gender identification at 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 14, look at all the confusion that causes. And I have to tell you, if they go down that road, and that's the road they really want to go down with hormones, right? Testosterone, estrogen, puberty blockers, all of these different things. We are going to have a generation of kids that are so mentally ill.
Yes.
That we will not be able to recover from that.
And these types of drugs being given to school children on the advice of some counselor at school without parental knowledge is horrifying to me. Kids at 13, 14 years old, that's a crazy time for all of us in life. And people make decisions day to day, and they change day to day in those scenarios. The fact is that kids that seem to think that they want to be the opposite sex than they are at that age, over 90% of those kids, well over 90%, go back to just being what they are. So a boy who thinks he wants to be a girl at that age actually just ends up being fine with being a boy, you know, as time progresses. But to allow children at that age to make decisions without parental consent is what is so wrong to me. Schools are there to teach you reading, writing, arithmetic, history, social studies, things like that. They are not there to change your body irreparably and make that decision without your parents' knowledge. To allow my child at 13 years old to go leave school and get an abortion without my knowledge, I mean, I just can't even imagine. Parents need to know, Ron, and they need to be seriously looking at what permissions their school that their child goes to has with their child. And they need to understand that if they have these permissions, you better get your kid out of that school yesterday and put a stop to this. People have to stop this. But what is the situation? They don't know. They don't even know because parents are a little bit out of touch with what's happening in schools.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And they're completely disengaged. They don't belong to PTA anymore. Parents are having a hard time. And especially now, parents are having a hard time making ends meet. You know, even parents that have two professional jobs are having a very difficult time. And, you know, there really is no middle class anymore because the progressive left has done everything that they can to remove that, you know, that middle strata in society. And so we've got the poor and we've got people that make pretty good money. But, you know, my point is that you see evidence of parental disengagement all of the time. You don't see them showing up at PTAs. You don't show them showing up at school boards. They have no idea what their what kind of books that their children are reading and bringing home. And, you know, we just went through this recent election. And I'm speaking specifically in Texas and in our area, in the Texas Hill Country. And we had a candidate that we became friends with, and she was running for one of the state board of education slots. And she's a conservative, and she lost. And she brought to us during one of the candidate nights this book, which was a sex education book at the third grade level. And I have to tell you, well, you don't have to tell you anything. You saw the book. It was completely pornographic. It was absolutely inappropriate. The things that were in that book, I tell you what, my jaw dropped. And you got to do a lot with an old vice officer, and you used to be one too. You got to do a lot to cause us to drop our jaws.
I didn't have that kind of sex education when I was a senior in high school.
Well, you know what? And I've got to tell you, did you have sex education when you were a senior in high school?
Very minimally.
I did not. Yeah. I did not. And you know,
we had kind of the birds and the bees. There was a little video and it was very benign.
Okay. Well, we didn't have, and you and I are the same age. It's interesting, but you're Northern California, Southern California, and I was Northern California. But here was the thing. And I was a teacher before I was in law enforcement and everything in the very early 70s, you know, so like 70, 72, and teaching high school, teaching junior high and then high school. And that, to me, was when sex education was first introduced into the classroom. And the guy that I was student teaching with at the time was teaching sex education. And I'll tell you what, I told him when we were, you know, out of school, I said, man, this is nothing that we should be teaching these kids about. And that was back then. And I tell you the truth, Linda, after all these years, I don't feel any different. I don't think sex education needs to be taught in the schools. I think it needs to be taught by parents. And of course, a lot of people are going to disagree with me because you know how a lot of parents are so ignorant about it, but it's got to be taught in a different venue or in a different way. I don't think it's the job of the schools to do that.
Well, you know, when I was in Catholic school and we looked at sex in a different way, there was a more of a Christian bent to it about right and wrong and that type of thing. And I think that those morals guided me through life, and I'm grateful for that. Now, what they're doing now is not sex education. They are manipulating the body of your child.
You know what? I'm going to use the word. It's not sex education. It's sex indoctrination. It's gender indoctrination.
Well, and it is, but to the point, it's not just mental indoctrination. It is physical. They're making changes to our children's lives and bodies. They are giving them contraceptives. They are giving them puberty blockers. They are giving them abortions. Those are physical things, and they are saying that you, the parent of that child, have no right to know. Well, I could not be more insulted.
You know, boy, I'll tell you what, you've really opened up my eyes with this little conversation this evening, because I'll tell you what, I'm very rarely caught with my mouth open, but I'm certainly, I have to admit that I'm caught with my mouth open right now. And the thing is, I see no litigation. Where have I been where I'm not? I mean, I pay attention to this stuff. Where have I been where there is no parents that are speaking up, filing a class action suit, filing litigation against this in loco parentis type of sexual indoctrination? I just don't understand.
But do you see what they did and how insidious it is that a lot of these things, not all of them, some were done prior to COVID, but a lot of these things are coming during the COVID time when parents are completely unaware of what the schools are doing, and they put it in very quietly, and that's the new rule. Parents need to be awake. Every single parent of a school-age child in grammar school, middle school, or high school needs to go and find out if their school district is honoring programs like this, where they can allow medical things to be done to and with your child
without their knowledge,
or consent, and charged to your insurance, which is an open door money stream to schools.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is such an interesting topic. I didn't know where this was going to go. Like a lot of our conversations, you know, we sit down with a cup of coffee, but I'll tell you what, I'm all for you and me doing some research and coming back and having another coffee conversation and talking about this, because I'll tell you what, I, for one, I admit when I need to be educated, and I absolutely need to educate myself on this.
Well, and I found it by mistake.
And it's horrific.
It's horrific. And parents just have to know. And now that we have schools shut down by COVID in many places, now is the time to find out and make a decision of what you're going to do with your child's education from this point forward. Because if the school that your child is going to has the right to allow your child to have an abortion or get birth control at 13 years old, or be given drugs that are going to alter their
sexuality, their gender, and also
forever.
That you're exactly right.
You
forever.
Have got to know that now before your child goes back to school.
You know, I would suggest, and you brought it up, so I'm kind of stealing it from you, but if you are a parent, and, you know, I'm talking to our friends and listeners right now, if you are out there and you are a parent and you are working from home, for God's sakes, take that opportunity with your computer and pay attention to what Linda says. Start doing some research on your own school district and whatever health services and health education and sex education that your kids are getting. You need to stay right on top of that, or you're going to lose your kids. They're going to take your kids away from you mentally, sexually, physically, and you won't even know it's happening. And I'm going to tell you, sure as God made little green apples, I'm telling you that in the future, as your child grows, they will absolutely be confused and they will be mentally unbalanced. They will never get centered because they will not know whether they're a boy or a girl or whatever. And you don't want that, because that will come back and that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. Pay attention. Get educated about your children.
Especially if you are in Oregon, Washington State, or right. California.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in the great state and Republic of Texas.
Okay.
Well, our Attorney General, Ken Paxton, has filed a lawsuit against several of the states that are having these election issues with the certification of votes. And so, and it's really interesting that 17 other states joined in, Missouri being the most recent state. And so basically, the brief, and I've read part of the moving papers on this brief, and what they discuss is that Texas is arguing, saying that the states acted, you know, we're talking about, the states like Nevada and Georgia and Pennsylvania.
Well, I think Nevada is not in that lawsuit,
states.
Yeah, Wisconsin, Georgia.
There you go.
Pennsylvania, Michigan.
Yeah, and they acted unconstitutionally when they either through their judiciaries or their executive branches created these new election laws. And so what they're saying is, listen, that wasn't your job to do. You can't do that. And as a result of that, you change the course of the elections.
Yes.
All right. And so they are, Texas is arguing the unconstitutionality of these late legislative changes to the voting laws.
Right. And that affects everybody else's rights in Texas. That is where Texas came from. But 17 other states have now joined in that lawsuit saying, you also affected our rights, our voters' rights, because you changed the election outcome. And by so doing, you voided our votes.
Yeah, basically they're saying that they abrogated the statutory safeguards against fraud that possible observers have long recommended. And we're talking about voting by mail. Nobody wanted to have that. I mean, nobody in their right mind wanted to have voting by mail. It's proven to be a huge issue. I think it's probably the most primary issue.
Fraudulent. Take that, Facebook. Take that, YouTube. Fraudulent.
Calm down, Linda. Let me get you some better coffee. And then the second thing is they did so in such a way that predictably conferred a partisan advantage. In other words, gave the Democrats the advantage. And it just completely changed the course of the election. And so that's basically the argument from Texas. And now 17 other state attorney general's offices has piled on. So I'm really interested and excited about this opportunity to come before the court and be heard. Now, that being said, and I've talked about this before, and remember, I'm not an attorney, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn once. But in order to get a lawsuit into the court, another so that the trier of fact, which is a judge or judges, are going to listen to the arguments, you got to have two things. Number one, you got to have foundation. And that foundation are the allegations we're just talking about. That's what foundation is. But then you've got to have standing. And here's what I'm thinking. And I'm going to be pessimistic in one sense, but I'm really optimistic and very much want to see us win this lawsuit in Texas. And I love the fact that the great state of Texas took a leadership role. And Ken Paxton is, he's the tip of the spear right now. And I like Ken. But here's the thing. Are the courts going to say that the state of Texas, because they weren't involved in this, have standing?
It's have a federal standing. Election. So I believe they do have standing.
Okay. And is your argument, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is your argument, because no matter if it's Texas or any of these other states, what happened in those states, and especially in Georgia, turned the outcome of the election from Biden to Trump, which absolutely affects the state of Texas and our citizens?
It turned it from Trump to Biden.
Did I say that wrong?
Yes. Yes, you did.
See, too much Bailey's in the coffee.
I want to mention the other states that have enjoined this. They are Missouri, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. So I'm really encouraged by the fact that I would think that brief is much harder to turn down when you have 17 or 18 total states saying, hey, you affected our votes.
Well, let me tell you what's brilliant. Okay, so I'm going to pat Ken Paxton and his assistant attorney generals on the back here because the strategy of the lawsuit is absolutely brilliant. Okay, and I love a good lawsuit. All right. So the Texas lawsuit is different from all these other lawsuits in that it seeks to take advantage of the Supreme Court's rarely used original jurisdiction to bypass the lower courts. All right. And that's because of the exigent circumstances. And we've talked about exigency before. And so what we're trying to do is catapult our lawsuit past the district courts and the district courts of appeal and go straight to the Supreme Court.
Which we've done.
Well, we're going to see what happens. So, you know, the pessimistic thing is that Trump and his, you know, his army of attorneys have failed, what, I don't know, 39, 40 times.
Yes.
And that's a bad, you know, what do you call it? That's a bad list of... Bad record, thank you. But this one is different. So let's just kind of cross our fingers, say a few prayers, and see if something like this is going to happen. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, that would be a game changer.
Well, and I think that what they're asking for is they want time to have all of these votes be really, really looked at. Not the fake, just recount the same votes a million times, but look at the votes in all of these states. I think that that's is what they're asking for. That would definitely would take some time. But in order to make this election fair, it has to be made fair. The people of America have to be made whole in the way that they know that the votes, whoever ends up president, it truly was voted to be president. And we don't know that right now. Despite what YouTube says, we don't know that right now.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting about this, and that is the Georgia Attorney General, his name's Chris Carr, and he happens to be a Republican. And he's saying that Texas is going to lose that lawsuit because the merits or the arguments on their face are fundamentally wrong. They're just fundamentally and factually wrong. So, you know, I haven't read all the moving papers. I haven't read all the arguments by the state. I'm just trying to synopsize what they are. But I thought that was really interesting that the Republican state attorney general for the state of Georgia, which has now become probably the most controversial state, other than I thought California was, but in the union right now because of this, everything hinges on this, you know, and then these upcoming Senate races hinge on this too, could truly change the shape of the United States of America.
You know, I think that if the Supreme Court does find that they're not going to look at this suit or does, you know, vote that it's not worthy of consideration, America is going to be left with kind of a big hole in their heart because there is no answer to what happened in this election. And I, for one, and I know that I'm one of millions of people who we'll never believe that Joe Biden won this election, and certainly not fairly and squarely. And that's a big problem for the United States to have that kind of shadow hanging over America is, I think it's a big, big problem.
Well, they're going to have to come to grips, the four states, which are, you know, Georgia, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, they're really going to have to come to grips with this pretty soon because they are forced to come to grips with this pretty quickly. And
well, they're not if the Supreme Court doesn't look at this. They're just going to go on their merry way. And I actually am surprised that Nevada and Arizona were not thrown into the mix here, but for some reason they were not.
Well, I think there again, it's the politics, and you've got the Democrats running both of those states now. So, I mean, well, not as much Arizona, but for sure Nevada. But we'll see, you know, we're going to see what we can see. But, you know, this whole thing just pops up and just sort of underscores an article that I wrote a long time ago on America Out Loud. I'm going to have to revisit that article and get that reposted, but it's called The Disunited States of America. And, you know, Biden talks about, well, he's a uniter. He's going to unite, you know, all Americans. He's going to speak for all Americans. Well, just look at everything he's doing right now. I mean, we've talked about his cabinet picks so far. None of those people that he has chosen so far are unifiers whatsoever. They are way out in left field.
Yes.
I mean, Joe Biden, come on. Like, what does Joe say? Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
Joe, you're putting yourself out there as a moderate, but that's just words because we're looking at what you're doing. And these people that you're, you know, trying to bring into your cabinet, your cabinet selections are so way off in left field, and they're such losers. I mean, you know, the guy that you picked, you know, General Austin for the Department of Defense, Becerra, for Health and Human Services, and just some of these people that you've chosen are in their own communities, they're not respected and they're losers. And they didn't do anything when they had opportunities. And I'm leaving the general out, but I'm talking about the other politicians that he has so far named for cabinet positions. They're infamous for being dissenters and not uniters. So, you know, we see these states breaking up and kind of going their own separate ways. And it doesn't speak to United States. It speaks to a disunited states and a huge chasm that we have in our nation.
Well, and we have been disunited, and we're also disunited under Nancy Pelosi and the scam that she pulled on business owners all around this country, small business owners that she has no respect for and no care for. And as she watches them crash and burn in their personal lives, and over 20% of small businesses have permanently gone out of business in this shutdown climate, yet she withheld the stimulus package for small businesses ever since July in order to play games for her political not having Trump win scenario.
Oh, no, and you're just not making an opinion, Linda. You're stating a fact, because she was on television and during an interview, and I watched her basically admit the fact that she held back So Trump could not get a victory, Trump and the Republicans. And when you get Bernie Sanders coming in there, and he was interviewed and he said exactly the same thing, come on, what are you talking about? If you're a Democrat, of course you're not listening to Talking While Married if you're a Democrat.
Well, you should
be. But if you were a Democrat and you were listening to Talking While Married, what is wrong with you? Why did you vote for these people? You lose your business. Your employees are out of work. You're having problems with the mortgage on your house. You can't keep your business going. You can't keep your restaurant going. You can't keep your bar going. And all of that could have been saved months earlier, except for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and people of their ilk. What are you thinking? I swear to God, I got to get a couple of Democrats on this show that are true supporters, true believers, Kool-Aid drinkers, and we got to have a Talking While Married with them. Well, I just got to find out what's on their minds.
That Nancy was and is an extremely evil is the only word that I can think.
Oh, I would agree. And that's not a word I use, no. Casually,
but,
by the way.
But for her to be willing to let Americans not be able to pay their house payments, not be able to pay their employees, not be able to pay their rent, not be able to perhaps buy food for their children, so many things that people have been sacrificing while she's over there eating her $100 ice cream is just inconceivable to me that this is a person that says, as the Democratic Party says, that they're fighting for the little person. They're fighting for Americans.
No,
baloney. They are not fighting for us. They are stabbing us in the back. And I, for one, as a business owner, will never, ever forgive them.
Well, thank you very much. And what I was going to say is, I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're a moderate. I don't care if you're a Democrat. Look at what's happened to this nation as a result of them holding back. And all this stuff about the Republicans, this Republican, that's all a bunch of malarkey, as Joe Biden would say. It has been the Democrats that have held back against this so that President Trump could not get a victory. And it's only now, when they see that there is a pretty darn good chance that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be our president and vice president, and Trump is being moved to the side, that they come forward and they finally admit it, because they're looking at it saying, ha, 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 now you can't do anything about it. Well, the people out there that I just mentioned and Linda has mentioned, you should neither forget nor forgive ever what the Democrats have done to you. And it's going to get worse because the Democrat Party is not a party of the working people anymore. That's out the door. It was out the door a couple of years ago. And they are now moving to the left, to the progressive left in socialism. Look at what we're talking about what they're doing with your children. Look at what they've done with your businesses. Look what they've done with your lifestyle. And you tell me, how does that move you as a person? How does that move your family forward? And how does it move the United States of America forward? Hey, let's take an opportunity and tell people how they can keep in touch with Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married.
Well, Talking While Married is on AmericaOutloud.com. Every day you can go to listen live, or if you prefer, you can listen on any of your talk radio quick links like Listen Live 24/7, iHeartRadio,
Spotify,
Apple. You can use your Apple app, your Android app, or it's also available on Alexa. Now, if you miss us, catch us on podcast. We're on anytime that you'd like to listen to us, 24/7.
Nonstop. Dr. Ron and Linda. Yikes.
You can listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart again, TuneIn, or Apple Podcast. You can catch us really on any of your favorite ways to listen to podcasts.
And if you haven't had enough of Dr. Ron and Linda, don't forget that we both are contributing writers for Talking While Married. More Linda than me. Well,
for America Out Loud.
Oh, that's right. America Out Loud. Anyway, more Linda than me. Please go in. And when you're on America Out Loud, it'll say talk show host. You can click on Dr. Ron and Linda. And I just did today, by the way, just to check up on us. And all of our articles that we've been writing are right on there. Linda's a wonderful writer. And then don't forget, I'm going to give her a plug. Linda, talk about your women's show, which is really
our women's show. The Ladies of Liberty sound off on every weekday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, take a listen. It's a number of very wonderful and intelligent ladies, very diverse group of ladies that, talk about all kinds of different subjects. And also catch Dr. Ron's books on the bookstore at America Out Loud. Or if you would like to pick up a copy of The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter and the War on Police, you can pick it up at drronmartinelli.com.
And don't forget, Christmas is coming, and we've got the Wade Justice Texas Ranger fiction series, an exciting contemporary hero with some totally disgusting bad guys and wonderful storylines. And you can get that on the America Out Loud bookstore, or if you want an autographed, personalized copy of those books, and there's two of them out, working on the third one right now, just go to Wade, W-A-D-E, Justice, J-U-S-T-U-S.com. And we'll catch you later.